Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of What's Next. I'm executive producer Charles Gilbert. Today, we continue our tour of the Buffalo Center for Arts and Technology, or as I like to be called, BCAT. This time, What's Next contributor Akua Menzedu visits the center during its after-school hours. There, she speaks with four amazing people. We begin with high school senior Lillian Goings, who shares her transition from fine arts to digital media and the impact BCAT has had on her creative journey.
All right, we are back with What's Next, and I'm very excited to be talking to Lily. Lily is a digital media student here at BCAT, and we're going to have you just give us a little bit of your background and how you got involved in BCAT.
So, I'm a triplet, and I am an artist, and my grandmother, she knows this, so through Matt, she told me about this program, and she was like, you'll definitely like it here. And I remember the first day here, I walked into Kevin's classroom and they were doing something on the wall. And I used the paint markers and was like splattering it on the wall. Kevin was fearing for the carpet.
So what made you, so it sounds like you started with like markers and fine arts and then you found yourself going to digital media. So what was that transition like? How did you get interested in that?
Well, that was the first day. Then we sort of moved over to digital stuff because that was the first project. It was the Leroy project where we took some of his artwork and we cut it up or we moved it around in a digital space and then we made our own artwork.
So did you have any background in that before coming to BCAT?
No.
No? So this was all new to you?
Yeah.
How was the approach, right? Were you nervous to get involved or were you excited? What was the feeling?
I don't remember much, but I know it was not that hard because the way Kevin tells you how to do it has like drop downs, but it's on paper, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And it worked really well.
It worked well. So for somebody that doesn't know much about BCAT, how would you describe what it is?
BCAT is a safe space for artists that really puts a shine on art spaces.
I love that. And so are you from the area? Do you live nearby?
I lived nearby at the old building.
Oh, at the old building.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this is a little bit of a trek for you to get to this new location. What do you like about this new location?
We have our own rooms.
Okay. And so it's a lot more space for you to do your programming?
Yeah. Before we shared a room with music production.
Okay.
Because we both use computers, so we would be together. And then afterwards, now that we have our own, it's like, cool.
It's cool. And so how many students are usually in one of your classes at a time?
Okay, so we have a full roster.
So when you think about one class or project that stands out to you, what would you say that is?
I would definitely say the documentaries we did. The documentary that we just did was for Wilhelmina Godfrey, and it was a labor of love. We worked over the summer and we like cut it up between what we wanted to do and what was still left to do. It was a really fun experience, but it was also like we had to lock in because it was something that I guess hadn't been done before in that way.
And so how did you approach something that was different in that way?
We just winged it.
Winged it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you think about, you know, bridging students between art and like your neighborhood, mm-hmm. when you think about what that connection looks like, how would you describe that?
Actually, at the old building, Kevin and our group, we used to like go on walks and stuff and go walk around the community or take the train, and we'd be at like Fountain Plaza.
Okay.
And we'd take pictures and stuff there. So yeah, we definitely been in the community. We've done community stuff where we actually like had this booth thing where we took pictures, like professional pictures of people.
And so when you think about your future, you know, you've obviously done a lot of programming here at BCAT. What do you see for yourself?
Well, I want to be a forensic scientist,
okay.
like working in the lab. And I feel like the stuff I do now, that would be something of a hobby that I can do when my job, which probably is going to be a little mentally draining.
Okay. So you'll be able to balance it.
Yeah.
Balance it with this. And so what year are you now?
I am a senior.
So you're a senior. So you're graduating.
Yeah, I'm graduating.
Come May, right?
Yeah.
And I know when I looked at the report, it highlighted 100% graduation and college acceptance rate. And so do you have plans for what's next after you graduate?
I'm thinking of going to Pace University.
Okay. And why Pace?
It has my program, and my mom has an apartment over there that has been in her family. Like, she grew up there.
Okay.
So she wants to keep the apartment.
And so when you think about what BCAT has done in terms of, like, you know, you deciding you want to go for your program at Pace, what do you think that connection has been?
I think being able to be out there and try new things and just being myself.
That's awesome. And so I have just a couple more questions for you. When you think about how to give back in your community or inspire others that might be interested in joining BCAT, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, honestly, to like get ready. You're going to be thrust into things, but in a way that you would be able to understand it.
And what else do you want folks to know that they might be interested, they might be a little bit nervous in terms of joining? What would you tell them?
All you have to do is really get to know the people here, and you'll see it's a really fun and like amazing place.
That was Lillian Goings. Next, we hear from Tierra Newell, who takes us through her journey from a BCAT student to now serving as an instructor at the center.
All right, and we're back to talk to Tierra, who is working here at BCAT, but also you have an interesting journey because you used to be a student.
Yes.
And so I want to hear a little bit about your journey from student to now working here at BCAT.
Wow, that's been, well, since 2021 is when I left BCAT as a certified phlebotomy technician. I came into the program not even knowing what phlebotomy was.
Okay.
Honestly, I was in a real huge transition in my life. So I didn't know what else I can do. All I know is work. So I decided to go back to college, but it just wasn't enough. I was there for 2 days. So I decided to look for more.
Okay.
So I asked around, and a lot of people were like, well, we have this place that we know called BCAT. And my niece was like, yeah, auntie, I go there. I take sterile processing. So that's what I applied for. But once it was not available due to the pandemic and not getting enough students, they said, well, it's closed, but are you interested in phlebotomy? I'm like, well, I don't know what it is. So had they would have said blood draw, I would have been like, oh, okay, yeah. So going through it was tough for me because yes, I went back to college, but that was like my first time getting back into school heavily since 2008. So it was really huge for me trying to study, buckle down, you know, the skill in phlebotomy and, you know, being technical. That was all easy for me, but the book work was not. I was one of those students who was like, oh, man, I know it. You know, and I would leave the books down. And then by the time I got my test back, I'm like, yeah, I got to focus.
Okay.
So when I took my exam, it was on my daughter's birthday. And I knew I needed this. This was going to be the career that would hopefully take me until, you know, retiring, because I worked so hard for it. And when I passed, it was a very huge, huge accomplishment. And I couldn't believe that not only I accomplished it, but it was free. I'm like, I don't have any student loans that I have to pay back or anything like that. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I like this. So I never left. I actually called my instructor. I'm like, hey, you know, I know you had a tough time while you were teaching. Do you need any help? And she'll be like, oh yeah, you can come stop by. I would bring her expired materials from work because, you know, after I earned my certification, I started working at Kaleida as first part-time technician. Then I went full-time and then just literally went from there.
So it's, I mean, that's an amazing trajectory, first and foremost. Yeah. So congratulations
Thank you.
And so I just want to get a little bit more about your mindset, right? And so you had tried, you know, traditional college, you know, were thinking about going that route, found this program here at BCAT and got involved. And so what was your, like, your mental process through all of that, you know, in terms of that transition?
I needed more. I was initially going to college to join NCCC's nursing program, which, you know, I was really almost there because I came from a background where I was a recruiting manager for nurses. So that's all I talked to. And I'm like, I love taking care of people anyway, so why not? But still being at home, a single mom, still wasn't enough. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's going to be like a 2-year period, but what can I do right now? So my mindset was like, I got to go get it. And that's when I found BCAT.
Yeah. And so when you got involved, like, what was the structure of your classes and how did you balance that being a single mom?
Well, in college, that mainly was over virtual.
Okay.
Because that's what it was back then. But coming into BCAT, we were coming in person. So it was like, okay, mom, I got to go to BCAT and I got to be there by 5:30 unless I can't get into class. So can you grab Sophia? But then there were times where I did not have a babysitter and I would call and I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to make it to class today. She's like, oh, no. Bring the kid. You come to class. We're gonna take her downstairs. There's coloring stuff and you'll be okay. So I'm just like, do they really do this here? Because you can't do that in college. Right. But here I am in this place that actually really cares about you, because most colleges, they don't care. I mean, you show up. If you don't, they still get paid, you know. But here they're like, no, we need you in here and we want you to complete this. So yeah, we're going to help you.
So what other types of services did they offer? Were there other like wraparound services or resources that they connected you with?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Women's Foundation was a huge one that they connected us with. And it was like anything you needed, you know, did you need any type of toiletry products? Do you need food for your home? Do you need help with getting or obtaining daycare services? So they were Johnny on the spot when it came to all that.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, there were folks who were always encouraging as well, right?
Yes.
And making it something that was also a part of their own journey and, yes, and success as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then let's talk a little bit about that transition, right? So you graduated, you know, you finished the phlebotomy program.
Yes.
You went, worked at Kaleida.
Yes.
You asked, hey, do y'all need any support and help, and would bring things back and be a part of the support team, it sounds like. How did you go from that to now working here full time?
Well, it was strange, actually. So I've always come back and I remember getting a message and I'm looking at it and she's like, well, can you call me immediately? So, you know, I'm calling my previous instructor. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm thinking she needed me to come do like a presentation or like some type of lecture. You know, I was prepared for it, but she was like, no, I have an opportunity for you. So I was like, okay. So as I was listening and she was just like, yeah, they're looking for you to be the instructor. I was like, what? Me? Nah. Mm-mm. She was like, no, I really think that you can do this. You have really shown me that you're willing to help. You're willing to jump in. You're willing to literally mold these students just like me. So she was like, I think you would be the perfect person. She said, as many students as I've had, no one has been as dedicated as you. So I was like, okay, I'll see what they'll say.
Yeah.
I'll listen. You know, they probably won't even pick me, but it's fine. You know, so this is me going in like, oh, it's okay. They're going to pick somebody else. But no, they really said it. They was like, no, we want you. I accepted and I was scared as a whistle because this experience for me was very, very life changing. I went from having a career in which I thought I was going to retire in. I got fired to, okay, now what else am I going to do with my life? Because I don't know what else to do. I thought that was it, to Now I'm here. They molded me. They helped me get this career. I'm working in this career that I got this certification for. It was life-changing. So I was like, am I going to be able to produce that for students? Am I going to be able to give them that same feeling, that same goal? I don't know. So I was like, okay, I'm very knowledgeable. I know what I'm doing. I can teach them. But I just was so scared, because it's one thing when you're mentoring and you're training, but to actually instruct and teach someone, that's a totally different ballgame.
So talk about that transition, right? So you've, you know, turned student to teacher now.
Yes.
Right. And so what has that been like?
It's been amazing. I actually sat back and I looked at my binder.
Okay.
This binder I've had for 2 years, and it was me building this curriculum. So essentially I'm given an outline. Okay, this is everything that you need to hit, but it still has to be meat in there. So I have bread. So now I'm adding all this, you know, lettuce, now the tomatoes and everything. And I'm looking at this big, huge double decker sandwich, and I'm just like, I really did this. Because when I was first introduced in my very first class, I was scared. But I was very transparent with them. I said, not only am I going to teach you guys how to be a phlebotomist, but you guys are going to help mold me into the instructor that I need to be. So I always call that class my blueprint class. They have a very special space in my heart. I love every single last one of my students. I definitely keep up with all of them, but I am very stern with them. I'm very hard on them. But I'm also very encouraging. I am there. I will meet them where they are. You know, everyone, every single student, they have a different story as to why they are here. And you want to support them. And you want to let them know, like, you can do this. It was not by mistake that you are here or that you are picked. And I feel that very strongly, because I believe wholeheartedly, you know, they could have picked anyone to be a phlebotomy student. But when they picked me, I'm like, wow, I really was meant to be here. So after my very first class earned their certifications, I cried like a baby, because I was like, Tierra, you really can do this. You changed 10 lives. I just was really mind blown, and even me getting emotional now, because even up until now, I still get emotional. Like, look at this, even with a 100% pass rate. I wasn't there all the time. You know, I had to grow into that. And it just takes so much learning, so much research, you know, and Charisma will tell you, like, I lean on her a lot because she's so knowledgeable, and I take everything from everybody, because you get to instill it into them, you know, and then you get to play with it. You know, what might work for that class, it might not work for that class. So, you know?
It's such a beautiful full circle moment, right? Yeah. In terms of how you have navigated. I think it also shows, like, you grew your own confidence through teaching, right?
Yes.
And learning from them as well. So it's like this give back, right?
In absolutely. Terms of what that looked like. Absolutely. I mean, I tell my students all the time, even now, I said, I learned from every single last one of you. It's at least one to two things that I am taking from a student, and I'm teaching it to the next student, because peer tutoring is everything for me. I can give you the foundation, but it's how they build it up and how they teach themselves and how they're able to study that sticks with them. Because maybe how I'm teaching it is reaching everyone else, but it's going to be that one or those couple that have developed something and be like, hey guys, listen, this worked for me. Let's try it.
And I love that. How inspired they must be, right? To,
yes.
To be getting taught from someone who was in the same seat.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And they love it too. When I share, and I'm very raw and real with them. I give them every experience that I've had. And they're just like, well, Miss T, if you did it and you were going through all of this, we can do it too.
Absolutely. I want to ask you one last question. And that's, if you could describe BCAT in one word, what would that be and why?
Wow. How could I put that in one,
one word?
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's such a hard question, but I would say it's an accomplishment. It's a straight accomplishment. It's a privilege to be here, and everybody needs to know that.
And what would you tell folks who might be interested in joining?
Man, get here. Get here. It's a free place to be. Right. And they're actually going to care about you. They care about you here. not even just about the staff. They care about the students as well. They care, and not everywhere has that same capacity at all. I'd rather be somewhere that cares than to be somebody who is not even looking for me and I've been gone for a week. Right. You know, so I love that.
Following Tierra, Akua takes a tour with Giselle Akel, a non-traditional student in BCAT's IT Pathway program. Giselle discusses balancing work and school and how BCAT helps students like her reach their goals.
So what is your full-time role and what are you looking to do in terms of your certifications that you're doing here?
All right. Well, I actually just landed my first tech job ever.
Awesome.
Which is awesome because that's why I'm here.
Okay.
I started here at BCAT in March of this year, 2025. And I am in a year-long program for the IT Pathway.
It was wonderful meeting you all.
So the IT Pathway program here at BCAT is structured for you to take four CompTIA certifications, and these are tech industry widely recognized certifications. Tech tends to be more of a certification-based industry than a degree-based industry.
Okay.
Like there are degrees like computer degrees or cybersecurity degrees and things like that. But for the most part, when you look at job descriptions and whatnot in tech, they'll have certs. Like, do you have your CCNA? Do you have your CISSP? Lots of acronyms. Lots of acronyms. So we're getting here at BCAT, what makes this particular program so special is that they have four progressive certifications. They're also stackable certifications. It's very much like, you know, like Mario, if you get like three of them, you know, with your powers combined, you earn like a kind of, there really isn't a super cert, but it is recognized as certification. You badge up. So I am on cohort 3 of 4.
Okay.
I've done the Tech Plus with Mike Pilato, who is amazing. He used to be at Roswell. He used to be the director of IT infrastructure there. And Dewan Crandell is the A-plus teacher that I had. He is a network engineer. He used to do that for the Army. Like, you know, so this is the Tech Plus class. So like, you know, when they deploy to Djibouti, he would be part of the advanced team that would go and set up the site and, you know, make sure everything's networked together so that they could communicate with the folks back home. And that is Dewan right there. And right now, okay, so this is Russell. He is our professional development as well as student engagement and stuff. So you're not gonna see our current professor, our current instructors, but we have two, the Security Plus. And we have Lynn Caputi, who is the principal cybersecurity consultant at Synergy, which is like a big firm around here. And then there's David Cialone. And that dude has like NSA clearance.
He said NSA, so I'm sure top security and top
because
levels.
That's one of the things about tech, especially here in Buffalo. There are so many tech firms here that have like DoD contracts, you know? So there are a lot of people in tech here who have all kinds of clearance, which is pretty cool.
So we walked past this board that said, what is your why? And that kind of struck me because I saw a lot of, you know, people's responses. And so what is your why? Why did you decide to do this?
So I love the insistence on the why here. And it's part of orientation. And it's something you talk about because it really is very important to know why you're here. Because if you're just here taking up space, then you're not doing anyone any good. My why is I need my children to be proud of what I do. I need to be passionate about what I do. And I need what I do to make a difference in the world. It's very important to me that I do leave the world better than how I met it. And I am a strong proponent of access to education. Mm-hmm. And everything I learn, I share. So in this class, a few of us know each other outside of class as well. And one of the things that we do, so let me look. So Melissa, who sits in the front, another BCAT success story, because she has also gotten herself a tech job since she's been in this program. As well as Nathan, who is sitting in the corner over there with a little gray hat on, has also, since he's been in this program, gotten a tech job. So the student success rate is in, you know, in the tech program is pretty good.
And so what are the types of jobs that folks are now getting after going through these certifications?
So the thing about tech jobs is they do tend to start out as like service or help desk, which is where I am right now. So I'm help desk, so is Melissa, so is Nathan. And what I really like about it is like you're learning all the things, because that's the crazy thing about tech. You find something you like and you're good at and you want to do more of, you basically make your own job. Mm-hmm. That's why when you ask people about jobs in tech, it is such a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
It really is a hard question to answer.
So I'm going to ask you that question in terms of you're stacking, you know,
I'm stacking my certificates.
And so what would you like to do? Do you have an idea of what that would be like for you?
I do.
Okay.
So my end game is cybersecurity.
Okay.
That is the field within the field that I would like to be in. And that's one of those things where there is as well. It's like, it's not a job that you can like get a cert for, get a degree for, and then you just go straight into it. The thing about cybersecurity jobs is that they are very experience based. And the thing is, you just kind of become a cybersecurity professional by just being in the industry for so long and figuring out what it is you're good at and then applying it to securing, you know, the network or something.
So then when you think about like your journey, right? And so you're currently working a 9-to-5, then you come here, you do classes, and then after that, you're going home.
Yes.
You know, before we started, you shared that you have two little ones at home as well. How do you balance between all of the things?
The support. Like Tiara really hit the nail on the head there when she was like, you know, they were like, bring your baby and we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Really do, because I brought my kids to the first orientation, you know, same thing, had them sit in color somewhere. Another one of my cohorts.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
So, and the thing is, like, the wall that we were standing in front of where we were talking about your why, that's, you know, that's the resources wall as well. Anyone can post anything. I put stuff up on there. Charisma put stuff up on there. Whenever I come across a resource that I think will be helpful, like, you know, like where the food pantries are this weekend, you know, who's got free legal advice, you know, if you get on to, you know, divorce court on a Wednesday between 9 and 11, like a lawyer will help you out. Even for people who like aren't in the program anymore, because sometimes, you know, life happens too hard for some people and they do have to drop out, which is also always super sad. And but BCAT will stay in touch with them and they will continue sending them resources. And even like within the classes, I have found some incredibly valuable people and made really, really intense friendships with people. And we do help each other outside of it. Like I said, Melissa, Cindy and I, we have a live stream outside of class where we basically get together on Fridays and we talk about what we learned in class this week, you know, glows and grows. What did you understand really well and can explain to somebody else, and what was really hard for you? And you're like, you know, help me, please. And that's what you need. Like, especially as like an adult transitioning into a new career, which is basically everybody here in the evening. It's that kind of support, that kind of don't worry, we got you.
And you also pointed out when we were walking down here, a closet.
Oh yes, so let's go look at that. So that, you know, that's all part of it. Like, UCAS not just referring you to resources, but they're providing you the resources too. Like I said, so Gina, the CEO who you met earlier, I was telling her that I was getting a lot of compliments on her coat today because, and it was so serendipitous. So this is the blessings closet. If you need food, if you need clothes, if you need books, if you need like a stroller to put your baby in, like, and the thing is, if you...
There's jewelry over here. Mm-hmm. I see some books.
Yeah.
Some
shoes.
Shampoo and deodorant, non-perishable items in
That's
here
right.
as well.
Yeah. And then their shipment of feminine products will be coming in this week as well. You know, because people need things.
And this was always here?
Yep.
Available to students?
Here. Always here, always available to students because, you know, BCAT addresses the whole person. You cannot study if you're hungry. You cannot concentrate if you're worried about who's watching my kids at home. You know, like, you cannot succeed if you have life lifing at you without people around you to help. And like, they do, they do the village thing.
And so I guess just, you know, final question for you,
yeah,
in
course.
Terms of someone who might be interested in getting involved in this program, what would you suggest to them?
I would suggest that they apply as soon as they can. It's, you know, it's rolling admission. The cohorts, you know, run depending on what you're, do you mean the tech pathway specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So that tends to be a spring thing, but you can jump in to whatever certification you would like to do. Like I said, there's four different ones. It's preferred that you do the whole program because, you know, it's one of those things where it's like the reward is great at the end. But no, apply. Just apply. Like, you'll sort it out later. Just apply, get your name in here. And if you feel like you're going to have like limitations or struggles or anything, tell them. Just tell them.
Finally, we sit with Charisma Dubois, BCAT Senior Program Director. She speaks with Akua about her role at the center, shares success stories, and explains how BCAT fosters creativity through arts and technology programs designed to help youth explore their career paths.
So Charisma, I am super excited to talk to you today about your role at BCAT. So you're the Senior Program Director.
Yeah.
And just coming off the elevator, right, I entered into the space and it was a light. There were students all around, you know, they were in their Halloween costumes, eating candy, really excited. And I just want to get a sense of like what it is that you do in your role.
So my role is to oversee all program here at BCAT. And what that means is I do everything from curriculum development to ensuring the day-to-day of the program is running smoothly, strategy for the program, because I work really closely with the leadership team to just make sure that we're making the impact that we want to make and we're moving in the right direction. And then I disseminate a lot of information to my team so that they can execute and ensure that our students are successful. And if there are any things that come up, we want to make sure that we take care of it, address it, and move forward.
And so as we walked around, I mean, you saw bright faces, people excited about what they were doing. We saw the digital media room. We saw the music room where there are little keyboards and, you know, connected to Macs. And we saw fine arts where people were drawing and painting. And so how did y'all come up with your programming and what do you hope folks take from it?
BCAT stands for the Buffalo Center for Arts and Technology. And there are a bunch of cats around the world. And really, the goal of the cat model is to create an environment that fosters, you know, creativity and really helps people feel like they can do anything. The model is really, if you create an environment for someone, they will thrive and they'll rise to the occasion. And so that's what we do here. For our youth, providing arts and technology is an outlet for them. It's an opportunity for them to be creative, but it's also a way for them to explore things they would have never had a chance to be a part of. And so you would think someone coming here and doing like the 3D printing class might, you know, go into manufacturing or something, but students do a lot after this program. You know, we have a student that is in school right now to become an architect because there's skills that you learn in these classes that you wouldn't have explored somewhere else. And so our goal is for students to be able to come here, learn, but determine what parts of this program resonates with them, what can they take with them, and how can they use that to find a pathway in life.
And I love that because you could see the excitement in the students' faces. There's a certain level of comfort that they have, even with instructors, a certain level of camaraderie, even with themselves. And I know as we went through, I think it was the media room that we went through, and I was just like, this is a place that I would love to hang out, right? And especially as a student. And so how did you all, like, what was... It was obviously intentional in terms of how you created and structured what this looks like, and you moved here to create more of that type of space. So talk about that intentionality and how folks entered the space.
In our previous space, it was still a welcoming environment, right? Because that's at the center of BCAT. But it wasn't an environment where students could call their own. Many of the classes shared space. And so when choosing a new space, we wanted to make sure that each room was tailored to the learning that the students needed for themselves. And so you see in the music room, there's an intentionality there in terms of you have a space where you can record your music. You have a space where you can mix it. You have a space where you can put your headphones on, add your beats, and do what you need to do in there. And all the students know those different spaces. They're all welcome to come in each space, but they truly make the space their own. And so when you go into, say, like the digital room, you see all the student artwork. They made that space creative in the way that it looks, you know, and all we do is provide them with the tools to get there. Everything else is on them.
So when you think about success stories, right, because we kept hearing different stories all along. So 100% graduation rate. We talked to Tierra and the phlebotomy program, 100% graduation rate as well. So how did y'all get to that point, right? Like how the magic, there must be some type of magic that's happening.
There's a little bit of magic, but there's a lot of learning and growing. So when I came to BCAT, I was tasked with looking at our programs, determining what's going well, and deciding what are the things we need to improve on. And so that's exactly what I did. I started by interviewing every single staff member to see what they loved about BCAT, what's going well with the processes, and how we can improve. Tierra's a rock star, mm-hmm. Okay? She put her all into her curriculum, and what I gave to her is my background in BEC's teaching practices because she's a content expert. So I'm a former educator, and so I bring that with me into this space. And so with Tierra, I really just sat down and worked with her. You know, you have all this great content. Let's make sure that students are engaged. Let's make sure you know that they're understanding the material. That's something that we didn't do in the past. So we have like professional development for our instructors, right? Because it's a creative space. It's a technical space. But at the end of the day, all of our instructors are industry experts. They're not teachers, right? And you can know a lot, but that doesn't mean you can teach someone, right? So that's where I come in. And then when it comes to the other classes, I'm really data-driven. So just making sure that the data is telling a story that we want it to tell. And if it's not, where are we, you know, going wrong? And so with the IT classes, really taking a look at what type of professional development we're offering to students. Is it tailored to the pathway they want, you know, they want to go into? IT students are very different than allied health students, right? They're not going to be in front of people. So their professional development doesn't necessarily need to focus on customer service in that way. But they do need to be able to talk to a customer about the issues that they're having and how to troubleshoot those issues. But they're not there to make them feel comfortable and not scared of a needle or whatever it is that our allied health students are experiencing. So taking a look at that and making sure that the opportunities and experiences students are getting out of this program actually align with the career path that they're going into and is meaningful. So really just the intentionality of those value added pieces, I think, is what elevates the program. Because our content experts, they're amazing. They know their content. Students are going to get that. It's all the other pieces they need to be successful that we have to own and make sure is, you know, tailored to the students.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, even hearing Tierra's story and how she went from a student to now being the teacher, and she didn't have teaching background, to your point. Right. And so that was something that you all worked with her to get her prepared for that. And I kept hearing these stories about, oh, I'm a non-traditional student, or I came from this specific space. Generational wealth was important to me. And so I knew that if I got into this tech program, I could see a different type of future for myself and my family. You also heard stories of, hey, I didn't have childcare that day and I just brought my kid with me. And that was something that was welcomed. And so I want you to talk a little bit more and lean into that, right? This non-traditional student, and how do you take them into this current space and then produce what they came here to do?
I think of non-traditional students as the ones that took the squiggly path. They didn't take a straight path. Like me, I took a straight path. I went to school for education. I became a teacher.
Right.
And now I'm running a program where essentially I'm like a principal of this program. That's how I compare it. Whereas a lot of our students, maybe they have not gone to college, or they went and it wasn't for them, or maybe they went to college, but that industry that they went into is just not the industry that's still there. You know, there's a few students like that as well, but most students have had various experiences when they come to us. Our allied health students, a lot of them work in the field, but in roles that don't pay a lot, in roles that is physically demanding, and they're coming here so that they can get a certification and move up into a position that's going to put them on the right path. And Tierra talked about that in her story, because that it really changed the trajectory of her life. Whereas our IT students, when they come to us, they might have had a long career, because I think the average age of our IT students are like 33, whereas our allied health students are 25. But our IT students, when they come to us, they may have worked in retail. Some have worked in healthcare, but many of them have had a lot of different experiences and tried things that just didn't work for them. And so for them, it's really about highlighting those transferable skills and making sure that they know that they have a lot to offer to the field. Mm-hmm. You know, if you worked in retail, you are folding clothes, taking orders,
customer service,
project manager,
yep,
you're doing a lot of stuff. All of that stuff is, you know, those skills are transferable. So just making sure students know that. And the same with our allied health students, you know, making sure that they know that they have the skill set to move into those pathways. With our youth, our goal is really to provide those experiences, because they're blank. They're a blank canvas, right? They have experiences, but they're just, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and they're just excited. And so it's our job to just make sure that they are exposed, because, you know, digital media arts seems so cool and fun, but they have no idea what kind of career you can go into. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of students, and there's not a lot of people in those career fields that look like our students. And so exposure, making sure that they know what it can take to get into those spaces. Not everything takes a college degree, but if it does, what major do you need to go into? What experiences do you need? What internships do you need? Right? But trying to do that early on, you know, I don't know if we talked about it, but especially in our youth program, we do a lot of work with other partners. And so students will get commissioned to do different things. They might get commissioned to do artwork, murals, music. You know, there's a bank that came and wanted our 3D printing students to create a trophy for them. They came in like, oh, can y'all make us a trophy? You know, so those experiences we give students, give them the tools to make a decision on what they want to do when they get out of here. It's not straightforward.
Yeah.
It's a squiggly path.
And I love that, because I think, you know, when you even think about like art specifically, there's portfolios that you usually have to have to even get into college and be able to showcase some of that. And traditionally, I don't know if that's an easy thing to navigate, right? Without having something like this and it being exposed.
Yes, it could be difficult to create a portfolio if you don't know how and you don't have the skill set. But students, every project, they take photos of the work that they do and we store it for them. We, you know, catalog it so that they can take it with them, you know. But like I said, just because they come here for art doesn't mean that's the path with it that they go into. Some students have gone to school for art. We got architecture. We got a student that's in school for forensic chemistry. Right. So they just learn the skills here and kind of pick out the parts that they really like and they take it and run with it. And we're all here for it.
So you mentioned earlier you were a data person, right? I would say like a data diva, probably, right? So can you talk a bit about some of the success stories that you've seen? Any metrics that are sticking out for you that you want to share?
Sure. We talked a little bit about our phlebotomy program because Tiara has a wonderful pass rate. Her pass rate is 100%. But for our allied health program as a whole, it's a 91% pass rate across classes.
Amazing.
And that's our pharmacy tech, medical administrative assistant, and phlebotomy classes. Our students historically across the programs get into jobs 70% of the time right within the first 3 months. And then we have some resources on the back end. We're actually now building out our alumni council to help those that didn't get into that job right away. So how can we help them get there? Our IT program has a 93% pass rate and a 76% certification rate, which is still pretty good. Mm-hmm. I know Giselle talked about how rigorous the program is. Those are accelerated programs. They're not easy. They're national certifications and you have to study hard. And if you're working during the day, like some of our students are, finding time to study in between taking care of your kids and doing everything you have to do can definitely be a lot. Of our IT students, about 70% of them have jobs. And I would say 40% of them are in an IT specific job, like an actual IT role. And then we have about 30% of that 70 that are in like IT adjacent roles. So those are roles where you use technology, but you're not necessarily doing help desk or, you know, setting up a network for people or like doing a security for a company. Though we've had some students get into some pretty, you know, high level position. We have a student right now that's finishing up our security class. She actually was able to land a job at M&T Bank on their security team. She was worried that we were going to kick her out the program because now she's this high level security person. And I'm like, girl, we are not kicking you out. We got to help you finish your pathway.
Right.
You know, so she's doing really great. We have a student who really leaned into networking. For IT, you have to network. It's really who you know, especially here in Buffalo. And so she leaned into that, got to know so many people in the IT space. And then she was just hired in her first IT job doing it for Canisius College, which is a pretty big deal, you know, to have that type of job right out of a program. I wouldn't even say right out of a program because she's still here. She's got one more class that she's doing with us. We have a student that went to a shadow day. So I set up a shadow day at a local IT company and I sent a bunch of students there. And the goal was for them to just speak to individuals that worked in this space and asked them what their pathway was, right? Because students come here, especially in IT, and they're like, I'm going to be a security person. And it's like, in 20 years you will.
Right.
It takes a lot to get to that level where you're trusted to own the security of a company. Mm-hmm. And so it's not something that's not doable. It just takes a lot of time and practice and expertise. But this particular company that I sent our students to, they were just open to a shadow day. I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes. Then they emailed us maybe a day or two later. We loved your students. Everyone singing their praises. We're going to bring one on for internship over the summer, a paid internship. Okay, fine. I'll send them over. I'll get their resume, send them over, have them interview. Now the student that was chosen for that internship, she's employed there. And we actually use them for our IT services. So she's still in class with us. And then she's also troubleshooting any computer issues we have. Like the internet was down one time and she got so excited. Like, oh, I'm going to fix it. And then it came back on and she was like, I didn't get to do it. But everybody was so excited for her. Like, yay, you did it. So there's so many successful stories. And our students come back to us. You know, when we have mock interviews for the next generation of students. Our alumni come back and they're now in the field. They want to give back to students. And so they give them the pointers. And so we want to continue to lean into that and make sure alumni have opportunities to give back. But also we need our students to network and know those that are in the industry and have mentors.
So I think one of the last things I want to just ask you about, because you mentioned other companies and other businesses that you're engaged with, and it sounds like there's some really rich partnerships that have happened that you're connecting students directly with opportunities, whether that's internships and jobs. And so can you speak to maybe a business or a company that might be interested in learning more about what BCAT does and maybe how they get involved with you all?
So there are so many ways to get involved with BCAT. I think the easiest low-hanging fruit is to come and speak to our students, right? Our students love to hear from industry experts. We always do panel discussions as a part of their professional development. So that's an easy way to just come in and share about the work that you do and how you got to where you are. But there's also opportunities to have an even bigger impact, you know, and people from different companies will come and they'll do mock interviews with us. If they have positions that are open, this is an easy way for them to, you know, not spend so much money and actually hire people. And so we've had recruiters from different companies come and participate in our mock interviews, and students have gotten hired from that because sometimes you just need to meet the students. I think that's why that shadow day worked so well, because you don't know what you're getting from a student that's going through a program like this, because people are so used to having those with college degrees be the ones at the forefront. So shadow days is always an opportunity. Building out an actual partnership. So we had a big healthcare partner that built out a new pathway in partnership with us. So they were a part of the curriculum planning. They were a part of the professional development and really invested in it. So if there's a company that has opportunities and they have jobs that are open and they have a lot of turnover, as you know, some of these companies do, the best way to combat that is to be a part of the planning, you know, and really create the environment for the employees that you want to bring into your business. And so we've done that, which is really great. And then there's other companies, maybe they can't afford to hire someone. That doesn't mean we don't want to partner with you. Maybe you could afford to give someone an experience, because people always need experiences. So we do have partners that are building out internships with us and doing things like that. I think sky's the limit. I'm open to so many partnerships, right? Because I'm only one person. I don't know everything. And people have really great ideas and really great ways to be innovative. And I want that for BCAT. You know, I think we have so much to give, but we have so much more to learn.
I love that. And I love the work that you all are doing here. It's inspiring. You see the faces here. People want to be here. Yeah. Definitely want to be here.
They show up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You create an environment where people want to show up. They want to be here. And so congratulations to you and your team for the work that you're doing. And so I'm going to ask you, if you could describe BCAT in one word, what would it be and why?
For me, BCAT is opportunity. That's my one word, because Tierra said it. She came here for a program that she thought was going to be the program that she was going to get into. Ended up doing a program that really changed the trajectory of her life. I think when our students come here to BCAT, they have in their idea of what, you know, in their mind, an idea of what they want to do and where they want to go. But once they get here and they have these different opportunities to experience just the space, the staff, the other students, the professional development, the content in the class, they really start to open their mind to the possibilities. I think it's so funny that many of our IT students come here and they're like, I'm going to be a security guru, but they have no idea whether you want to work in healthcare or you want to work here or you want to work there. And I always tell them, like, every place is not an IT company, but every place needs IT, right? And so you can do really important work anywhere. It doesn't have to be in that place that you think you should be, because that's like where everyone thinks you should go. But yeah, it's a place of opportunity. And that's why I came here. You know, I want to support individuals as a whole. I know you can't do it by just going to class. You know, I was a teacher, not during the pandemic. I was an instructional coach during the pandemic, trying to support educators. And it was very hard because, you know, you didn't know what students were going through. You saw them on the camera. And so after that, I really wanted to come to a place where it's not just about whether you're passing the class, but are you okay as a human? And how can we help you be okay? How can we help you get to your goals? And then you're still intact when you get there.
That's all for this episode of What's Next. Join us again Wednesday as we highlight an upcoming panel discussion honoring the life and legacy of Eli S. Parker. This has been What's Next from Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.